ABC Radio Australia.
Back in 2017, a historic meeting of First Nations people in Australia resulted in a call for there to be an Indigenous voice to Parliament. This voice would be a permanent body representing First Nations people that would advise the government on Indigenous policy. And just recently, at the Garma Festival, Australia's Prime Minister revealed a proposed set of words to be added to the Constitution for that Indigenous voice to Parliament, and has outlined what Australians might be asked in a referendum on the issue. That question, as it stands at the moment, would be, do you support an alteration to the Constitution that establishes an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice? Now, joining me this morning to chat about these developments and the dialogue and discussion is Imelda Davis, who is Chair of Australian South Sea Islanders Port Jackson. Good morning, Imelda.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for joining the show this morning. What was your first reaction to hearing, I guess, the steps that Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese had taken at the Garma Festival?
Look, I think it's way overdue, and we really need to get on with the business. So, of course, since the new government have come in to power and you know, they're welcomed with open arms, because this is one of the most refreshing news for all people of Australia, but in particular First Nations and those families that belong to that community. So, yeah, we have hope, you know, but we need, you know, enshrined voice to Parliament. That's something that's critical now.
Do you think it's the right direction in terms of there being a referendum to have all of Australia voice its opinion on it towards getting more political power for Indigenous voices here in Australia?
I think it's really important that, you know, to the wording that's being used, you know, about we're here to take everyone along with us. So it's a very inclusive approach. It's a decision for the nation, because obviously this space is shared. Yes, it's unceded lands, but at the same time, 200 plus years of colonisation, 60,000 plus years of, you know, occupancy by First Nations Aboriginal leaders, and being able to sit down and have that conversation, you know, that makarata, that is forgiveness, and, you know, let's get on and work together as a nation. And that's really important. You know, that's a very strong gesture to the people. And we just hope it's not just, you know, as the words said, promises can disappear with Yothu Yindi's song that you just played, like writing in the sand. So that's why we need to have this commitment enshrined.
One of the other, I guess, proposals that's been put forward is that the government itself would sort of have the power to say yes or no and decide what to do with any discussions that come out from that Indigenous voice to Parliament. What are your thoughts, coming from a First Nations perspective, on the government choosing to still have control over that voice to Parliament?
It's going to be a decision, as Linda Burney and those leaders are saying, majority of Aboriginal representation that are already in government, it's going to be a decision of the people what that looks like. And if they're genuine in proposing that the consultation will take place with we the people, those that don't have the opportunity to sit, you know, in those seats of decision making, then, you know, so be it. But the people will decide, as the people decided who our new government is today, you know, and don't underestimate the power of the people. My thoughts around, I guess, the greater inclusion would be, what does it look like for Australian South Sea Islanders who are a nation within the First Nations people, a nation of people represented through, you know, slavery, and have that evident kinship with our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Yes, we have people with dual and tricultural heritage that are a part of this government makarata peace treaty voice to government, but at the same time, we need to flesh out, you know, the specifics of that demographic, and really, you know, if we are taking everyone with us, what does that look like for those families, you know?
Do you want Australian South Sea Islanders to be included in that Indigenous voice to Parliament?
Again, it's a conversation that needs to be put. Look, I'm in a position where I have advocated for many, many years to be heard on the shoulders of many that have gone before us in continuing the recognition, you know, fight, but for inclusion in programs, policies, services. But it's still, you know, I'm banging a drum. Many of me that are in the communities across Australia are doing the same thing, but we're not getting traction. We're getting lip service, we're getting recognition, which we're grateful for, but it's not enshrined in anything that, you know, I mean, Queensland's moving forward, we're moving forward slowly, but how long does it take? You know, it's on par. This year's 175 years since the first 60-odd thousand were brought here. Sydney was the epicentre for a Pacific slave trade. Burns Phillip, Robert Towns lived here, who's a, you know, entrepreneur, Benjamin Boyd. You know, they made their wealth and their political lives off the backs of Pacific labour, and still today it's happening with our seasonal workers in holding up this economy. But at the same time, you know, the underdogs are being forgotten or bypassed, and that's the Australian South Sea Islander communities and, of course, First Nations communities. So how do we bring that together? How do we bring that to light and stand in solidarity, you know, and be heard together as a collective? I mean, I'm asking that question firmly, and will encourage people to have that discussion. We have to have the discussion. You can't leave anyone behind.
Yeah, like you say, a lot of dialogue and discussion still to come with many First Nations groups and the Australian government and the Australian people. What do you want to see in the next direct steps coming out of this Garma Festival? You know, there's been a little bit of discussion now. There's still, I guess, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has at first said that he wasn't going to release any details about what it might look like. Now he's saying he will release some details. What are you hoping to see in the direct next steps moving forward?
I just hope to see, you know, leadership from our First Nations representatives in that parliament that are going to drive this forward, and to encourage the Australian people to have trust and just know that, you know, we're in the driver's seat now, so please just allow people to lead. You've got good people that have spent many years in activism, that have represented communities on the smell of an oily rag, and now they've been awarded that opportunity to continue to lead and bring this home for the people. And the people will decide. I mean, we can talk a lot about this, but we just need to get on with the business. It's been too long now.
Well,
so many have for us.
Imelda Davis, thank you so much for joining me here on Pacific Beat. And yes, we'll wait to see what those next steps will be and, I guess, who will be included in that discussion moving forward. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, great to speak to you. Take care.